Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
I want us to go to the word of God, but first I want you to check if your neighbor has a paperback Bible. Let's check. You know, Adelaide, is that a paperback Bible or it's a cover? You know, I want you to lift it up. Everybody on your feet, in the honor of the reading of God's word, as we do our statement of belief. I am a winner. Let's go. I am a winner and not a loser. I am a victor and not a victim. I have changed my mind and my attitude to reflect what God says about me. My faith is built on God's word. I can do all that God says I can do. Nothing is impossible from this moment on, for I am a new breed, a new kind, a remnant, and I am after my purpose. You can have your seats. Genesis chapter 3. We have begun a new month. It's the last month of the year. And it's also the Sunday where we have our communion. And I had a leading of the Holy Spirit to move away from what we have been talking about, just to be in the season and to contextualize the message for today. December is the 12th month, and it's the last month of the year. And also it happens that we are having our Holy Communion today. So I want us to look at a different matter. I want to believe that we shall proceed with the series of stewardship when we return, God willing, in the month of January and so on. As far as God leads our pastor, sorry for that. Genesis chapter number 3. I will say a few things and then we are going to pray in Jesus' name. Are you blessed by the move? Thank you so much for coming this morning. The Bible says, do we have it? I'm going to read from verse number 1. And I will read all the way. To verse number 21. So 21 verses, right? And then we will jump to the book of John. The gospel according to John. We'll read chapter 1, verse number 28. And then we will take our communion. In the name of the Lord. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Please put it up in King James Version. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I eat. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cast above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow at thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21. And to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. John chapter 1, verse 28. The gospel according to John. Praise the Lord. Do we have that song? And unto you. What's the song we sang last? Yeah. Please forgive me. I'm not in the move. Yes, there it is. Glory to God. Verse 28 in King James Version. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise the Lord. This is an interesting piece of scripture because if somebody was to write a book just from that portion of scripture, there'll be like 10 volumes. The Bible tells us, if you look at Genesis chapter number 2, and I keep saying this every time I am speaking from this scripture, that the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 are not necessarily in chronological order. Because Genesis chapter 1 tells us the beginning of all things, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, the beginning of man, the beginning of day and night. And I don't want to dwell into that, because the book Genesis comes from the word gene, where you get genetics. It is the book of origins. If you look at the Hebrew, it is called Bereshit, which means the beginning of things. And interestingly enough, the book of Genesis has the beginning of everything, the beginning of race, the beginning of sin, the origin of civilization. It has the origin of family. It has the beginning of all things except the beginning of God. Praise the Lord. Because the Bible is the autobiography of God. And if somebody is writing an autobiography, they don't have to belabor themselves to prove that they exist. It is assumed that if it is an autobiography, then of necessity the author is in existence. Praise the Lord. So it begins by verse 1 saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Space matter, and time, and all of that, God is outside of it. I don't want to get into apologetics, but what I am trying to say here, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that in verse number 26, the Bible says that God talked to the Trinity and said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Then in Genesis chapter 2, we also see the creation of man. Therefore, some people may wonder which man was created in Genesis 1 and which one was created in Genesis 2. It's simply because Genesis chapter 2 is a footnote of Genesis chapter 1. Sounds like Bible school. Praise the Lord. So they are not chronologically arranged, but really Genesis chapter 2 is an explainer. And the Bible tells us that the Lord God had finished his creation, but there was no man to till the ground. And the Bible tells us, people of God, that God took the dust of the ground and made man in his own image and likeness. And I want you to see what the Bible teaches us is there was no man to till the ground. If you look at the earlier verses of Genesis chapter number 2, in other words, people of God, there was work that needed to be done. God had completed the work of creation, but he wanted to put someone in his image and likeness who will continue with what he would have continued with. So the Bible tells us that there was no man to till the ground. That till necessarily is not farming, but really to be steward or to take care of the same. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the Bible tells us there was no man to till the ground. And so God took the dust of the field and he made man in his image and likeness. And the Bible says that God breathed into man and man became a living soul. People of God, without the Spirit of God, you are not alive. Am I speaking in the house? Because he made the frame, he made the anatomical structures, but what made the soul to be alive is when the nefesh, is when the ruach of God was blown into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. He became a living nefesh. Nefesh is soul, which means intellect and mind and emotions. Your mind, your emotions, and your intellect are alive just because God has breathed his spirit on you. It means every human being that does not have the Spirit of God is spiritually dead. Praise the Lord. And that is why we must preach that after getting saved, you must be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So he took the man and breathed into him and he became a living soul. And the Bible says that he took the man and put him in the garden so that he can take care of it, so that he can dress it, so that he can till it. So follow me closely, that there was work for the man to do, but there was no one to do it. So work existed first, then Adam was brought into the picture to do the work of God. Meaning that the reason human beings exist is to do the will of God. Hallelujah. That is what many preachers call purpose. Listen to me, people of God. Without realizing your purpose in God, you are going to wander like a philanderer in the desert. Listen to me. You need to ask yourself, what did God make me to do? Because Adam was created to do the work of God. And today people are grappling with, what is my life about? What am I going to do in 2024? What is my life about? I have tried relationships, they are not working. I have tried getting married, it's not working. I've tried quitting job to start my business, it's not working. And vice versa, it's not working. And people are looking for meaning and purpose in their lives. Listen to me. The purpose of a human being can only be found in the one that made him. Am I speaking to somebody? It is the manufacturer who will tell us what he manufactured is to be used for. Praise the Lord. This microphone is not an axe. It cannot cut a tree. Because the one who made it described what the purpose of this object is. And without the word of God, and without God in your life, you are never going to know what you are here on earth for. So he put him in the garden to take care of it. And the Bible tells us when he was in the garden, he was given instruction. I don't want to look at the scriptures. I wish they... Are they able to follow me? We are around Genesis chapter 2. And the Bible says that when Adam was put in the garden, he was given instruction. Job, he was given the word of God. Because the work of God is guided by the word of God. Hallelujah. The marriage God wants for you is guided by the word of God. Am I speaking in the house? The business that God wants you to build should be guided by the word of God. Your family that God helped you to bring up should be guided by the word of God. Anything that is God's is regulated by God's word. So God put Adam there and gave him instruction and said, you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden. But of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, there were two trees, and I want you to follow me slowly. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. One was the tree of life. The other one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God's instruction to his creation was, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, meaning that he was free to eat from the tree of life. The only exemption was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord. For in the day you will eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you will begin the process of dying. That is what the Hebrew says. Because many people ask, after he ate of the fruit, why didn't he collapse? It's because the death we are talking about there is not the cessation of anatomical function. It is the separation from God. Praise God. Now, Adam was put there with instruction, with the word of God. And I want you to see, people of God, that there was work to be done. Then man was created to do that work. And that work was given instruction. And Adam was supposed to obey those instructions if he was to be in the purpose of God. And I keep saying this, even in the premarital counseling class, that the woman came a distant third. Hallelujah. Because for Adam, it was God, then work, then marriage. And that work is not job, not a job. It is the will of God. It is the purpose of God. And you know what this generation has done today? We have twisted things. Praise the Lord. I was speaking somewhere in a meeting of couples, and you can benefit from it. The correct order, praise the Lord, of things. If you need to have a relationship with God, then God will tell you what to do with your life. Then after telling you what to do with your life, that is where your principal partner will come from. So by the time Eve is coming into the picture, Adam has the word of God. And Adam has the work of God. Glory to God. So it is the word, then the work, then the woman. That's the correct order. Because we are going to see what happens when the order is reversed. Then we'll take the Holy Communion and we'll go home. Now look at this. He says, it is not good for a man to be alone. And this one, we like preaching it in weddings. It is God that said it is not good for a man to be alone. It is not the man that realizes it's time to marry. And many people who realize it is their time to marry, they never get married anyway at that time. Praise the name of the Lord. Because it was God's idea that man needs a companion. And the Bible tells us that God gave Adam work to do. And he told him, name all the animals. And they were coming male and female. It is there that God said, this guy has named all the animals, male and female. It is not good for him to be alone. Because he was wondering, why is it that the crocodile is coming, Mrs. and Mrs.? The giraffe is coming, Mrs. and Mrs. The tortoise is coming, Mrs. and Mrs. But Adam is alone. It is God that said it is not good for Adam to be alone. I will make for him a suitable helper. And he put Adam to sleep. I'm coming to my verse shortly. He put him to do what? To sleep. So that he does not participate in the process. Hallelujah. Because if Adam was asked, we want to give you a wife, do you have a few things to say? Hi. He would say, first of all, me, I like height. Ha. And I like lips. And I like lashes. And I like boobies. The children are in Sunday school. Yeah. You will say, me, I don't like flat bum bum. Can you add a little clay on this side? You will bring in things that don't have to do with the work of God. Because how does the height of a wife, what does the height of a wife have to do with what God has told you to do? Praise the Lord. Now people are looking down. If it was God's idea, then Adam must be asleep. The problem with today is that Adam is awake all the time. All the time. Yeah. Look at the way these single brothers are looking at me. They know what they want. As if it was their idea that they should not be alone. They have a list. Yeah. So he was put to sleep. And God took a rib and made a woman out of it and brought the woman to the man. And when Adam looked at the woman, he said, hi, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was woven or pulled out of the man. How did Adam know? He knew by revelation. Because he was asleep when God was doing the construction. He woke up, he was still under anesthesia. But when he saw the woman, he said, I have seen so many creatures, but not like this one. What I want you to see, people of God, is that the woman came to Adam after Adam had received the word of God. It was incumbent on Adam to tell his wife what God has said. Do you know what, my sisters in this house? You are risking your life. If the person you want to get married to does not have a relationship with God. I can't get a better amen there. Hallelujah. You are risking your whole future if you are coming to a man that has work without the word. If you are coming to the man that has wealth. Adam was rich by the time Eve was coming because he was given everything. And he was given an assignment, but also he was given the instruction from God. And this is a call to all the husbands in the house, that husbands must arise and open the book at home. I can't get a better amen there again. Praise the name of the Lord. We have people, we have men today who have to be pushed to church. Think about it. People who are supposed to lead their families spiritually, they are being begged to come to church. They are being begged to pray. They are being reminded, it is Friday, let's go and pray. Listen to me, it's because the order has been reversed. It was Adam's responsibility to tell his wife what God has said. Adam was the custodian of the word of God in that family. Hallelujah. And so, when Genesis chapter 3 opens, the Bible tells us, now the serpent was more cunning than all the animals that the Lord God had made. And the serpent targeted the person that never heard directly from God. The devil is old. He's older than you. You remember there was war in heaven? Before anything was created, there was a riot in heaven. And the devil was leading that riot. And he was thrown on the face of the earth. So he was somewhere hovering. So when Adam and Eve were being created, the devil was somewhere in the dark. He was on earth before them. That is why we are told the serpent was more. Because you will ask, where did now Satan came from? Because we have not seen the creation of Satan in Genesis chapter 1. And the enemy likes the person that doesn't know what God has said. Whew. I want that to sink in. To tell you, Michelle, that the word of God is repellent enough to satanic advances. Praise the Lord. The devil will avoid the person that knows what God has said. The devil will avoid the person that has heard directly from God. You know what? He comes to the woman. Look at that. Do we have it? Whew. Now the serpent. The Hebrew there is Nahash. I don't want to get into it. But really, it's not a serpent like a snake. In fact, Nahash is a creature that looked like an omnivore. Like some sort of chimp or monkey or baboon. That is why when God was cursing the serpent, we are going to see that the legs were chopped off. I don't want to get into that. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God? The devil always comes to challenge what God has said. Because the word of God is the power in the life of a human being. The word of God is the pillar in the life of a human being. The word of God is the potency in your life. And every time the devil will come to ask, the devil will come to ask, has God really said? The devil has a problem with what God has said. That is why he keeps you away from the word of God. Because you become an easy target. He tells you are busy. You have time for your Instagram, but not for scripture. You can't. You know you are busy. You are doing online sales. You are busy. You are taking orders. But you have no time even for Jude, which does not even have a chapter. It's just 29 verses. You have no time. Pastor Doc, I'm busy. You know, I'll take leave to read the Bible. And the devil is clapping. He's sipping a drink, a mojito, in fact, because he's keeping you away from what will keep you alive. If you are out of the word of God, you are Satan's favorite. Yeah. Satan's favorite are people who are away from the scriptures. Had God really said? The anatomy of deception is for the enemy to cast doubt, then doubt will bring disobedience. Then disobedience will bring death. Has God really said? God didn't say it's Adam and Eve. He said it's Adam and Steve. Come on, let's be inclusive. Come on, love is love. Oh yeah, love is love. And it's a hashtag with a billion impressions. Praise the Lord. Has God really? He questions what God has said. Look at Jesus when he was baptized. Adelaide, he was baptized, and when he came out of the water, a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Then in chapter 4 verse 1, it should be Luke, he goes to the desert. Then the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, if you are what God has said, the devil has a problem with what God has said. If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones to be bread. Jesus replied by what God has said. He said, it is written. Spiritual warfare is fought with the word of God. Because when the enemy comes, you have to push back with what God has said. And in this scripture, the serpent knew that Eve never heard directly from God. And he knew that Adam had dropped his responsibility of telling his wife what God has said. That is why I look at the reply that Eve gave. Where is it? Is it verse 2? Glory to God. Genesis, let's go back to Genesis. Shalabadai. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She wrote her own Bible. Because we know what God told Adam, isn't it? Is that what God told Adam? No. People who are not in the word of God look like they know it. That is why people quote verses like, even the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. Which verse is that? Hallelujah. She added something that God has not said because she was not in scripture. Man of God, let me ask you, where was Adam when his wife was having a date with Satan? You see, the silence of Adam is a problem in this generation because Adam is silent and is obsessed with work and is obsessed with looking for money. And is obsessed with all types of technology and cars and football and all types of things. I'm not saying that those things are bad, but what's gonna happen is that if you don't talk to your wife, somebody else will. The married men are adjusting their coats. If you don't talk to your wife, somebody else will. Praise the Lord. And that somebody will not be a serpent. He will be well dressed like Job Otieno. I'm telling you. Or like Gideon or Chesa. What is the devil talking to your wife without you knowing? Because they're only the two of them. Satan comes and he's whispering, shh, has God really said? And you're not aware. Men need to come back to their position. Glory to God. So that people and voices like this don't have a place in your family. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, Eve said, we shall not eat of it, or that confidence was working. And you see, it's a problem when you begin to have a Bible study with the devil. It's a problem. Yeah. Because it looks like she has opened the Bible. He has said, did God read this? Ebu read it in the Greek. That is not what God said. And you get into an active 13 with Satan. Because his strategy is to create doubt. Then the doubt will bring disobedience. Then disobedience will bring death. Before you notice, you need help from God. Praise the Lord. So the woman is having this conversation. And the Bible says that she looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food. It was good to make one wise. And the Bible says that she took it and ate it. Listen, people of God. When Eve ate of the fruit, nothing happened. But when she took the fruit and gave it to the husband, their eyes were open, and they discovered they were both naked. The last time a woman fed a man, Satan entered the house. Yeah. That is why your wife should not feed you. Can I get amen from the ladies? Gideon, you are giving me bad eyes. The last time a woman fed a man, Satan entered the house. Hallelujah. The Bible says that their eyes were open. When she ate of the fruit, their eyes were not open. But when the person that was responsible for the word of God, the person that was responsible for the family, when he took of the fruit and ate it, then their eyes were open. Because God was holding Adam responsible for what he has said. Hallelujah. Now, how come they noticed they were naked? They have been naked all along, and there were only two of them. It was only the two of them, animals, God, and Satan somewhere. So there was no other human being to see that they were naked. You see, the problem with nakedness is if you are two married people, don't have a problem if both of you are naked. You have a problem if there's another third party, because your privacy is breached. But there was no other human being to say, yeah, look at Adam and his wife were condemned there. There was no one to say that. So the nakedness we are talking about here is not the naked, it's not nudity. It is the exit of the presence of God. Because when we are in disobedience, what happens is we feel vulnerable to the judgment of God, and we feel we are naked because we are in disobedience. And they ran to the bush to hide themselves. You see, Satan's strategy is for him to ensure that you run away from the only person that can help you. Now you have disobeyed. And he wants you to run away. So they discovered they were naked. And they ran to the bush to hide themselves. And the Bible says, people of God, that when they were in the bush, as if that was not enough, they decided to come up with their own religion. And Adam told his wife, babe, come here. Come, turn around. He took a tape measure, measured the hip, measured the thigh, and made a fig skirt. And said, can you catwalk? We see how you look. Yeah, it's not bad after all. I like it. Because what happens when you are in disobedience? The immediate feeling is for you to try and cover up from God that which you are supposed to expose to Him. So they took fig leaves to cover themselves, to cover their nakedness. And God came in the cool of the day, the Bible says. Give us that verse. What does it say? I'm getting done. Look at it. He says, verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Later David asked, where shall I hide from your presence? Because sin has a way of deceiving you that you can run away from the one who is omnipresent. You can't run away. He says, if I lay my bed in hell, even there, your hand will guide me. It means that sometimes even God controls the mess you are in. It could have been worse. Am I speaking in the house?
So the Bible says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And it amazes me, people of God, why God chases a person even when they are in disobedience. Glory to God forever. The grace of God ensures that your ear is still open to the voice of God. Because in as much as they were in disobedience, they heard the voice of God. What a relentless pursuit. Praise the Lord. And they heard the voice of God asking them, where are you? Look at this. And the Lord God called unto Adam. God did not have business with the woman, because the woman was not given instruction on what to do and what not to do. The person that has responsibility and custody of God's word was Adam. And the Bible says God asked Adam, where are you? That's a rhetorical question. And God was not asking for Adam's GPS. He was asking for Adam's spiritual GPS. Where are you? Because when you are in disobedience, you change your GPS. Because God has come for daily fellowship and you are not there. Where are you? I have come so that we fellowship. I have come to answer your prayer. I have come so that you worship me. But when I came, you were not there. Why? Because sin made you to run to the bush, to hide yourselves behind the trees. And as if that is not enough, to shunner for yourself fig leaves. They would have covered their nakedness forever with fig leaves, cutting down trees every day to cover that which they don't want God to see. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, if you would not have given me this woman, I would not have disobeyed you. God is having a conversation with Adam so that he can redeem him. But he misses the moment of redemption by shifting the blame to another person. That is the mystery of iniquity. That nobody wants to accept that they need to be forgiven. So he pushes the responsibility to Eve. And God speaks to Eve and asks her, what is this that you have done? And the woman also said, it wasn't me. Not me. It's the serpent that lied to me. Adam, in that court procedure, was given an opportunity to explain himself. He shifted the blame to the woman. The woman was given an opportunity to defend herself. She shifted the blame to the serpent. But when God comes to the serpent, he does not ask the serpent, what is this you have done? Because the devil has no opportunity for redemption. The first two questions were asked so that you can respond and ask for things to be made right. And when God reached to the devil, give us the next verse. Verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, God did not ask the serpent, what have you done? Can you explain yourself? God passed the judgment and said, because thou hast done this, thou art cast above all cattle and above every beast of the field. People of God, I want you to see something here, and then I'm going to pray. I want you to see that Adam was not cursed. Praise the Lord. It is the serpent that was cast. And when God was passing judgment to Adam and Eve, he said to Adam that cast is the ground on your behalf. Why is it that God did not curse Adam? Because God cannot curse that which he has blessed. Praise the Lord. Because when he created them, he blessed them. Now he cannot come to reverse that blessing with a curse. And he cast the ground on their behalf and said, thorns and thistles, this ground shall produce. And you are going to eat by the sweat of thy brow. But I thank God forever, because this first Adam, when he was in disobedience, the ground was cast and thorns and thistles were to prick him all the days of his life. And he was supposed to sweat. But when the second and last Adam came, glory to God, I remember that Adam lost his authority in the Garden of Eden. But when the second Adam came, he came to collect that authority in the Garden of Gethsemane, people of God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus began to sweat like blood, to mean that the curse that was upon the land because of Adam, so that he could sweat when he's looking for food for his family, Jesus has come to redeem it. Glory to God forever. He had to sweat blood because he was the second Adam, and he was coming to fix the mistakes of the first Adam. The Bible also tells us when they crucified him that they took a crown of thorns. Shadabai. Glory to God. Remember, thorns and thistles were supposed to be reminders of Adam that is fallen. But Jesus came and he took the thorns and the thistles and they put it on him, and he bled, people of God, to mean that when Jesus went on the cross, all the curses were reversed in him. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Woo. Now, this is what happens. God comes and passes judgment to the three of them. To Adam, he curses the ground. To Eve, he says that he's going to multiply her pain at conception. And to the serpent, he tells the serpent that he will crawl on his belly all the days of his life. Then the Bible says that unto Adam, verse 21 also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. You remember Adam was a tailor for 3 minutes and he made a fig skirt? Yeah. And he liked it. Don't cover with fig leaves what God wants to remove by blood. You know what happens? Many of us cover with the work of our hands. The fashioning of that skirt from the fig leaves was the work of Adam's hands. And God comes to say, listen, when you find yourself at a place of disobedience and a place of sin and iniquity, it is not the work of your hands that will save you. I have to remove that which you have done and switch it with that which I have done. And the Bible says that God took coats of skins to mean that he had slaughtered an animal, to remind us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was crucified before the foundation of the world, people of God. Before sin came into the world, the Lamb had already been crucified and the blood was shed. And God took the bloody skins of that Lamb and put it on Adam to show him that the work of your hands cannot protect you from the consequences of what you have done, except that which Jesus has done. Praise the Lord. This Lamb in Eden became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Many times evangelists use this message to bring people to Christ. I don't know how many people are here today. We are coming to the end of the year, and there are things you have covered up. Covered up. Covered up. Job, there are wounds that heal when they are covered, but there are others that heal when they are exposed. Praise the Lord. Jesus shed his blood so that you can be healed from the wounds
which are consequences of your own actions. I know we have communion, which is the blood of the Lamb. And that is why I felt I should be able to share this message. I don't know how much you have covered up. But today, even as we take this communion, I want you to see that God wants you to accept that which He has done. Remove the fig leaves. Don't run away from the only person that can help you. Don't hide from the only person you cannot hide away from. God is inviting you into a conversation, and He wants to take away your sin. People of God, I want you to notice, in the Old Testament, the blood was shed to cover sins. But when Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, when He came, He does not cover sins, He takes them away. Hallelujah forevermore. And I keep saying, people of God, that if I cover this, and I think I have done this demonstration here before, if I cover this, it means that somebody can come and remove the cover. And if I remove the cover, what does it mean? It means that it is still there. But if I don't want to see it, somebody has to come and take it away. So that regardless of who comes to find out what was there initially, they are not going to find it. I want us to rise on our feet with the elements of the communion. Glory to God. Listen to me. There is nothing you can do about what you have done. I don't know if I'm making sense. I don't know what you have done that is making you guilty, that is making you shameful. You are saying, if this is known, I am done. If this ever becomes public, my life is over. If God decides to expose me, I am done. There is nothing you can do about what you have done except to accept that which God has done. Praise the Lord. Don't cover with fig leaves what God wants to erase with blood. Drop your religion. Drop your devices. Drop your cleverness. Come to God and say, look, heal me and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved. Glory to God forever. And the Spirit of God told me, even as we take this communion, that many of you are not just receiving physical healing, but spiritual healing. There are people here who don't believe they are the ones who did what they did. Because that is the nature of sin. It even makes you get shocked with yourself. You are never going to correct it by worrying about it. You need to accept what God has done.
Thank you for sticking in to the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.